This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Seeing What God Wants Me to See.
If you've ever thought this, you know, I just never get anything out of the Bible. When I read it, it's just flat out boring. I don't get anything out of it. It seems dry. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what the big deal about it is. It seems like a closed book to me. If you've ever felt that way, you picked a good weekend to come to church, because I'm going to explain why the Bible is a closed book to you and how God wants to open it up and how you can start seeing what God wants you to see. The fact is, the Bible is a difficult book if you don't understand the principle of illumination. That's what we're going to talk about this week. Now, week one, we talked about inspiration. The seven reasons you know that you can trust God's word, that this is not just a human book, it is the actual word of God. It is God's word to us. And the seven reasons we know that. Then last week we looked at foundation. The seven reasons God gave his word, what he wants to do with it in your life, how it makes a difference, what the Bible was given for. And this week we're going to look at the issue of illumination. You know, earlier this week, I had to go over to Lowe's to buy a new lamp for my study. I obviously spend a lot of hours reading and studying, and I've had this really very strong halogen lamp, which is extremely bright and makes everything really clear, and I loved it. But this last week, it just died on me. Not the bulbs, but the actual lamp itself. So I went over to Lowe's to buy one of these new study lamps. And the only lamps that they had for study were these newfangled ones that only used the new wimpy light bulbs. You know, the ones that are like one-third as bright as all the others. The brighter the bulb, the clearer you see. Isn't that true? Brightness increases clarity. And that the more light, the more you could see. That's why if you want to get a picture taken, a portrait made of yourself, you don't want a bright Klieg light on you, because it's going to show every malformation, every blemish, every wart, every pimple, everything in your face. No, you want the less light. Now, this is true when it comes to God's word. The more light, the more enlightened your mind, the more illuminated your mind, the more you're going to get out of God's word. It's not just the Bible, it's illumination. Now, what is it? Look on your outline. Here's the definition of illumination. Letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's word and how it applies to my life. Illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's word and how it applies to my life. You know, before Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I'm going back to heaven after the resurrection, but I'm going to send my spirit to live with you and live in you, the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit's job is to do is to illuminate the Bible, help you see things in this book that you would not otherwise see. And if you don't have that, you're going to miss a lot in the Bible. It's kind of like at Christmas time, when I bought my grandkids all these gifts, a lot of the gifts said, batteries not included. Well, a toy with a battery not included is still a toy, but it doesn't have its full potential, okay? Because you got to have the power to make that little toy run. And God says, not only have I given you revelation, but I've given you inspiration. That's the power to interpret, to understand, to see things that you've never seen before. And this is the Holy Spirit's job. Let me show you some verses. John 14:26. Jesus said, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Okay, he says he's going to teach you and remind you. What have I said to you? It's what this is. The Bible is what God has said to us, what Jesus has said to us. John 14, 17. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. It is the Holy Spirit that leads you to understand what the truth is in the Word of God. John 16, 15. The Spirit will take from what is mine, that's the words of Jesus, and make it known to you. It is the illumination of the revelation. It is God's Spirit saying, this is what this means in your mind as you read it that makes it known to you. Ephesians 1, 17. I ask the glorious Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ to give you his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. Circle the phrase, let you understand. The Holy Spirit will make you wise and let you understand what it means to know God. This is the batteries included. This is the power part of Revelation. What am I saying? See this book right here? It's supernatural, not only in that it is God's word, but this is the only book you'll ever have where you can talk to the author while you're reading it. You will never read any other book where you can talk to the author while you're reading it. And that's called illumination. And as I read this book, I say, now, Lord, Holy Spirit, what does this mean? What does it mean to me? How can it make a difference in my life? How am I supposed to use this today? And the Holy Spirit whispers in my ear. He puts thoughts. He puts impressions. He opens my eyes. He illuminates. He lightens. The light goes on in my mind. I go, oh, that's what that's all about. And you can ask, what did he mean here? Now, how does this work? How does illumination work? Well, look at the next verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 explains it. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, you say, wait a minute, I got eyes in my heart? Yeah, I'll explain that in a minute. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that's illuminated, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, first, I want you to circle the phrase, the eyes of your heart. What's he talking about there? When you are born physically, everything you learn in life comes through the five senses that God gave you. When you're born, God gives you five senses. Hear, taste, touch, smell, and feel. And everything you experience in your entire life, for as long as you live, you will experience on earth through the five senses that God gave you. Hear, touch, taste, smell, and feel. If you don't have those, you don't experience anything. Now, that's when you're physically born. When you're spiritually born again, when you are reborn into God's family, when you are saved, when you become personally acquainted with God, you develop a relationship with Jesus. When you are born again, God gives you a second set of senses, and you get spiritual ears to hear some things you never heard before. And you get spiritual eyes, and all of a sudden you start to see some things about life you didn't see before. And all of a sudden you feel some things that you didn't feel before. These are the eyes of your heart, the spiritual senses. See, you actually live in two worlds. There is the spiritual world, which we cannot see, which is God and angels and all of that. And then there is the physical world, which we can see. Now, actually, the spiritual world created the physical world. The spiritual world has lasted longer than the physical world. It will outlast the physical world. One day, everything is going to vanish here. This building will crumble. This cup will fall apart. The table will decay, rust, whatever. Physical things don't last. They are temporary. But God and his angels and the spirit inside you is going to last forever. So actually, the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. You just can't see it. unless God opens your eyes to see things that you would not normally see. That's called illumination. Now it says, I pray the eyes of your heart, that's your spiritual eyes, will be enlightened. Circle the word enlightened. That word in Greek is the word photizo. We get the word photo from it. And what is a photo? It is an image of light on a piece of paper or through digitization. It is an image of light. And to enlighten means to shine the light on something. And what it means is when you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden one day you go, the light bulb comes on in your life, go, bam, whoa, I've never seen that before. It's the aha moment. You go, whoa, I've read that verse a lot of times. I've never seen that before. That's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I needed today right now to encourage me, to help me, to know which way to go. Wow, aha, eureka, I found it. I get it. Yes, I understand it. That is illumination. Now, for many of you, that has never happened in your life as you've read the Bible. You just read words, blah, 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 blah. And you've never had one of those, aha, wow, that's exactly what I needed. I needed that from the Bible. Wow, I always wanted to know what the answer was, and now I know. That's illuminate. That's when the batteries are included. And you read the revelation, and the Spirit does the illumination, and you go, I get it. Some of you, that's happened infrequently, where it's happened every once in a while. I'm going to teach you today how to make this a regular part of your daily Bible reading. So that more than just print on a piece of paper, you're going to read the Bible and it's going to come alive. You can go, oh, that is so good. That is wonderful. And I never saw that before and I needed it. It's God speaking directly to me. When that happens, your spiritual eyes are opened, and that's called illumination. Now, what actually happens when God opens my spiritual eyes? I want to spend the majority of today's message on that, and I'm going to tell you four stories from the Bible that illustrate this. And then at the end, I'm just going to very quickly, in about 5 minutes, give you the five ways to how to do this in your life. But let's look first at the benefits, because when God begins to illuminate your mind and you learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden there are all kinds of really cool benefits in your life. You're going to want these. You might write them down. Number one, first, when God opens my spiritual eyes, when I see things as He wants me to see them, I see the solution to my problem. That's the first thing that happens. I see the solution to my problem. Now, the story we're going to look at is in Genesis chapter 21. You might write Genesis 21 down. It's the story of Sarah and Abraham and Hagar and their sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Now, you know this story, that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, the nation of Israel, and that God would give him a son to be the heir to this great nation. At 90 years of age, Abraham still doesn't have a son. This is a problem. And Abraham goes, this is a problem. And Sarah said, you're not kidding, it's a problem. It's a big problem. So Sarah comes up with plan B. And Sarah says to Abraham, look, I'm too old to have a baby. God's promised to give us a child. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take my assistant, my handmaiden, Hagar, and she'll be a surrogate mother, and you have a baby through her. Abraham goes, great idea. Great idea, Sarah. And so Hagar gets pregnant with Abraham's child. This is not God's plan. This is Sarah's plan. But the little baby is born, and he's a beautiful little baby, and they name him Ishmael. And Ishmael begins to grow up, and Abraham holds up Ishmael before God and says, God, you have given me the promised boy. And God says, that's not my plan. That's Sarah's plan. Now, I love Ishmael, and he's a good kid, and I'm going to make him a great nation too, but he's not the promised miracle boy. Later, by a miracle, Sarah does get pregnant, and she has a little boy named Isaac, who becomes the father of the Jewish nation. By the way, Ishmael becomes the father of the Arab nations. Ishmael is the father of all the Arab nations today. Now, Sarah gets upset and she starts getting jealous, and she's thinking, Ishmael's a little bit older. He's the firstborn. He's probably going to get the inheritance. Abraham's going to favor him. And she gets jealous and she kicks out Hagar and her young baby son. And he says, you guys are out of here. You're no longer my assistant. Get out of here. And she kicks him out into the desert. And we pick the story up in Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. It says this. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water. You know, they made canteens out of animal skins in those days. And gave them to Hagar. And he set them on her shoulders and he sent her off with the boy. He's kicking her out of the house. And she went on her own and wandered in the desert. Wandered in the desert of Beersheba. And when the water in the canteen was gone, she put the little boy, Ishmael, under one of the bushes. And she went off and sat down nearby about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch this little boy die. They're not only starving to death, they're dying of thirst. They're out in the desert. I cannot watch this boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. This is a very tragic scene of rejection. Now God heard the little boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. And he said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard this little boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And he did. All the Arab nations came out of Ishmael. Now we pick up the story in verse 19 on your outline. And it says there, then God opened her eyes. Circle that phrase. God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. So she went and she filled the skin, the canteen, with water and gave the boy a drink. And as you know, they survived that event and she went on and Ishmael became the father of all the Arabs. Now here's the point. She had the solution right in front of her, this well of water, but she couldn't see it until God opened her eyes, illuminated her mind, helped her see it from a different perspective. I don't know what problem you're going through right now, but you've got problems in your life. You thought, frankly, I don't see any way around this. There's no answer to it. I can't see the solution. It just looks like one dead end after the other. I cannot see the solution. You need to have your mind illuminated. You need the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind. You need him to open your spiritual eyes so you can see the solution in God's word. You're never going to see the solution to your problem on your own. You've tried and you go, I don't see how we're going to get out of this one. But you need to see it from God's point of view. And when God opens your eyes, you see the resources that were literally right there in front of you. But you didn't see him. Story number two. The second benefit of having your eyes spiritually opened is I see the barrier to my progress. I not only see the solution to my problems, but I see the barrier to my progress. You have some things you've been wanting to do in your life, and you've been wanting to start a business or start a family or get out of debt, or you've had some goal or some dream and you've been wanting and you've been trying to make progress on it, but you just keep bumping up against an invisible wall. And he's going, I don't get it. I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not making any progress. You need to have your eyes open, your eyes illuminated. Now, the story that gives a good example of this is in Numbers chapter 22. You might write that down. Numbers 22. And it's the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. But Balaam decided and agreed to help the bad guys. And this ticked God off. He goes, wait a minute, Balaam, you're supposed to be my representative and you're going to go help the bad guys? And so as Balaam starts on his journey to go help the bad guys, God puts an angel in his pathway and blocks his progress. Only Balaam can't see the angel. And so he doesn't know what's going on. but his barrier to his progress was invisible and he could not see it. So he's heading off on this journey to go help the bad guys. We pick up the story in verse 22 of Numbers 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block Balaam's way. Now, Balaam's donkey actually saw the angel standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey could see it, but Balaam didn't. And the donkey bolted off the road into a field out of fear. But Balaam beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. This is funny. Balaam can't see what's going on, but the donkey can. And he says, you know, this angel's in the middle of the road with a big sword. He goes, I'm not going there. And the donkey's pretty smart. He goes off into the ditch. Balaam beats the donkey. He gets angry. It's not the donkey's fault. He can't see what's out there. So then the second time it says, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed. This is the second time. The road narrowed between two vineyard walls. So it's getting very narrow. And the angel of the Lord stood in the middle. Now when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. We always get hurt when we're trying to do something that God doesn't want us to do. We always get our foot crushed. We always get hurt. And Balaam doesn't see what's going on. Balaam looks at the donkey and goes, why'd you do that? Why'd you run against the wall and break my leg? And he says he beat the donkey again. He's angry. Third time. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not even get by. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it just lay down under Balaam. Smart donkey. Okay, I give up. He just collapses and he gives up. In a fit of rage, the Bible says, Balaam beat it again with his staff. Now we pick up the story on your outline in verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Circle that phrase. This is illumination. He opened Balaam's eyes. And now Balaam saw what the problem was. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. No way, Jose, you're not passing this way. So what does Balaam do now? Now his eyes are open. He bows down low and he falls down face down and he worships God. Now that is a very strange story. But here's the point. You have plans in your life that aren't working out. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you're getting mad at everybody else. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at your husband. You're beating your donkey. Okay. You're taking it out on your kids. You're talking about your boss behind his back and on and on and on. And you're mad at everybody because you can't see what the real problem is. God is blocking that issue. He is trying to keep you from making a serious mistake. And God's saying, I'm not going to let you go down that road. And no matter how much you beat your head against the wall, I'm not going to let you go down that road because I love you too much and you're going to be stopped by it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created a tool called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How You Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
I'm going to close today by talking to you just a minute about your ministry. You know, God has gifted you. He's given you talents, abilities, heart, personality, your spiritual shape to make you you, and you are shaped to serve God. You may have never heard this before, but every believer is a minister. Not every believer is a pastor, but every believer has a ministry, has a service, has a way of making a difference. It's the way you make your contribution in the world. And anytime you use your talents and gifts to help other people in Jesus' name, you are ministering at that moment. How do you know what your ministry is? Well, you look at your spiritual shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your talents, your experiences in life. And when you use those things to help other people, there's nothing fancy about it. There's nothing scary about it. It's just being you. God doesn't want you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. And when you be you for God's glory, that is called ministry. You say, how do I serve God when I can't even see him? Well, we serve God by serving others. And if you're not already involved in some kind of Christian service somewhere, you need to take some time this week to figure out where you can plug in. Maybe a local church where you could say, I want to be involved in a ministry here, and then encourage other people with who God made you to be. Thanks for listening, everybody. And don't forget to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.